We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through His servant, Pastor Dimeji Elugbadebo. Be revived.
For your calling, I'm waiting for deep cry from within you. I'm waiting for that deep cry, deep calling unto thee. I'm waiting for you to stretch your arms and I will pick you up from that pit. I'm waiting for your cry. I'm waiting closely to you, waiting. Well, I want to hear that cry and I'm willing to intervene. I'm willing to come in, even though it's by your disobedience that you sink. But I'm waiting to catch you up. Cry unto me, and I will catch you up. And I will reinstate you again. And I will exalt you again. And I will teach you even things that you do not know. Cry, 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 cry. But don't be comfortable in that state. Cry. Surely, I will get involved. See you at the Lord.
Can we all say amen to that? Okay, so like I was saying, that we must not lose track of the reason why this teaching is being taught. One of the core reasons is we want to trust the Lord that men will be initiated into the way of communion with the Lord. And it is intentional that the Lord called it the way of communion, because communion is an art, it's a way, it's a spiritual flow of intercourse between the Lord and with us. Of course, there is a science to communion. Meaning, what I mean science, there's a theory of communion. Can we say amen? Theory, and that's good, because the word must be taught with the end that people will touch life. All right? So that's why I said there is a theory to communion, and we have been trying to do that. But if you notice that, you know, even the teaching has a lot of ways inside. It's laced by a lot of ways. So that it doesn't just end just like, you know, steps. It's very difficult to box God into steps. Not like it's bad when you are teaching to talk about steps, all right? But the way it is that you need to understand that the Lord wants to bring you into union with Him. Can we all say amen? The Lord wants us to come into union, all right? And we must desire it, all right? The Lord cannot do more or do so much when there is no passion on our inside and interest to want to know Him. And that's the bane of modern Christianity. It is too outward. It is too outward. I mean, it's too outward. Everything is just too much on the external. God has a lot of ways. When you are working with God, He will teach you how to withdraw. Now, when I say withdraw, I'm not talking about leaving work and all that. It's, I call it a withdrawal life on the inside. Communion is an inward journey. So that ascension we talk about is actually an inward thing. It's an inward ascension. Because when you think of ascension, Don't think of like you'll be going up the sky. It is an inward journey. It's an inward journey of transformation until we become more like the Lord. And if you're an external person, you cannot know the Lord. All right? The way the Lord wants us to know Him is that we are so sensitive to Him and His presence that it's easy for you to switch. A lot of people say they are busy. All right? Communion. When you are in communion with God, it makes no difference if you are busy or not. That's just the truth. You will come to a point in your walk with God that whatever you are handling on the external cannot change your level of communion with the Lord. It cannot. Because you have come into union. The word communion, the root word is communio. It's actually Latin. And it means to share or to participate. It means to share or to participate. So communion means participating or sharing in union with God. It is participating or sharing in union with God. So you begin with union with the Holy Ghost. Then they graduate you into union with the Son, which is our Lord Jesus and Christ. The Son, that is Christ. Because the Son has many names. When you say the Son is also, there's a Son in the Holy Ghost. It's called the Child. The Child Jesus. Alright? So when I say Son, I'm talking about Christ. The embodiment in God, that is name. Because Christ is a name. Christ is not just anointing upon. Amen. A lot of people have misunderstood us. They didn't listen to us well. At times when you say Christ, yes, everybody knows Christ. We are all graced in ability. This work, God gave us grace to x-ray Christ. It's not just Christ. Sometimes when you say Christ, everybody thinks that they know Christ. But like I said, you don't know who Christ is except you know what is contained in Christ. So when I say Christ, I'm not just talking about the anointed one. I'm talking about the way of Christ. The nature called Christ, which is the nature of the new man. Christ is, there's a new man that is Christ. All right? So that is a precise way that you must come to know. So you must come into union with the way called Christ. So you can see, then eventually you come into the union in the Father. Union in the Father is also union in the Son of God, which is an embodiment of all of the Father. So that is what Jesus commissioned the apostles to go and do. So the work of the apostles is to bring people into communion. Bring nations into communion. Cause them to know God. That is what it means. Can we all say amen? So that's the purpose of doctrine, is for us to come to know God. All right, and when you know God, you carry life or you bear His image. So I'm saying this, that none of us should desire to live an external life where you are living from the outside. You must desire to grow. So communion, again, I want to say, is founded on the basis of truth. So you can't have communion without truth. Very important. Truth of the mysteries of the kingdom. We saw that in Colossians chapter 2. So the mysteries of the kingdom cannot be accessed without the truth of the light in the name of the Holy Ghost. That's where it begins from. What the Bible calls the apostles' doctrine, or the milk of the word. It's the first truth to prepare you for the kingdom. All right? So the kingdom of God begins with the secret or the mystery of Christ. And then we move into the mystery of the Father and of God. Can we all say amen? So you see, all those secrets of the kingdom, they are all about communion. They are all about communion. But you begin with the Holy Ghost. So Holy Ghost name of the Holy Ghost is to bring you into a kind of fellowship in the Lord. It's also in the Lord. All of them are in the Lord Jesus. All right? You come into a level of fellowship in the Lord. Now, let me say this further. Take me to Ephesians 1 verse 15. It's a scripture we know. But let me just shed a little bit of light on it. Faith and love is the spectrum of measuring communion. So your communion is measured from faith and it climaxes in love. So that's why you know the strength of your communion by your love life with the Lord and with brethren. That's how you know the strength of your communion. When you are walking in communion with the Lord, or you are in love with the Lord, it shows in how you relate with people. Even when people do things, you cannot, the laws of love will constrain you. All right? Somebody persecutes you or assaults you or misunderstands you or hailstones at you. You will find it difficult to reply because your laws constrain you. It's just your laws will constrain you. All right? So I tell people, it's not about what people do to you. Say, Pastor, you don't know what people said. You know, recently somebody spoke to me concerning something, and well, because the person approached me in a very concerned manner, so I had to take time to explain. And I felt that explaining was a bait. It was a bait. But because I didn't want to hurt the person, if I kept quiet, it would be as if I hurt the person. You know, somebody's asking a genuine question concerning something. And so the most reasonable thing to do was just to explain. Because the person even came in a very concerned and caring manner. I don't know. But the Lord's ways are not our ways. So, you know, it was after I'd made that mistake that the Lord was now correcting me. The Lord knew I would not be able to get it at that point. I needed to make the mistake for the correction to be done. The Lord said, you have asked me if you should reply. Now, this one is not somebody assaulting you. Maybe if it had come by somebody assaulting me, naturally for me, if you assault me, I don't reply. By God's grace and mercy, I will just shrug it off. All right? But for this one, it's different. The person was asking genuinely with so much concern as a friend. So, but the issue was, am I now narrating? I now said things I shouldn't have said. They were not even bad things. They were the truth. But when I finished the discussion, I felt defiled. So I now asked, the Lord said, you should have waited on me. I said, but the person asked genuinely. He said, if you have waited on me, even when you will speak, I will have taught you how to answer. So I knew that, okay, this is another school in the spirit. So your laws constrain you. They constrain your actions. There are certain things you will not do because you have laws inside you that teach you what to do. So love is... faith and love, they measure the strength of your communion. And faith and love, there is not the principle of faith. So even in the Holy Ghost, in milk, there is a way or life of faith that is beyond 10 steps of using faith. This is, faith has become way. And like I've told you, the spirit of faith is born out of communion. When you are in communion with God, it births faith. Faith as an understanding. Or you didn't. I hope the Lord will give you understanding. Then, like I said, the climax is in love. So faith and love is a measurement of how deep or strong your communion is. So listen, brethren, a communion is a lover. Somebody in communion is a lover. It will be seen by your love life. Truly, you'll be able to love all men in spite of their flaws. You'll be able to love and believe the best of them. Now understand Hagin's work. Hagin had communion. You see Hagin's work. So when you read that book, Love the Way to Victory, that's a man of communion. A man of communion, you know, he will not even want to speak. He only speaks out of communion. So God is going to build communion in system inside you, such that everything that comes out, both in thought, word, and deed, is filtered by your communion with the Lord. We're filtered by your communion with the Lord. I want us to spend a lot of time waiting on the Lord concerning this. All right? It is dangerous in these days we live in not to have communion with the Lord. It is dangerous. You can't even handle natural issues of life. You'll not be able to handle them. You'll not be able to know when the Lord is preventing you from a major disaster. And that's why I want to say it again. And I want to say this more like a warning. You cannot afford to stay in bitterness. You cannot afford to stay in any form of bitterness. Some of us, we handle unforgiveness and bitterness like a toy. But I can tell you, it's so dangerous that you cannot be in bitterness and it will not shut down your communion with the Lord. There is no reasoning, there is no logical reasoning for bitterness. There is no explanation for bitterness. There is no justification for bitterness. For bitterness, malice, slander, unforgiveness. You don't have any justification before God to hold anyone. So, because once you are like that, and that's why Jesus says, anytime you stand, pray. After I talked about faith, now, amen. Take me to Mark 11, quickly. Can we all say amen? But verily I say unto you, you know, Jesus began by talking about have the faith of God. So you can't have God's kind of faith. At every level of faith. And Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Of course, we know that in the practical sense of it, Jesus was referring to milk faith. Even though he was an everlasting man, he fetched that thing from a dealing of faith that he has always had in his walk with God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Talking about your authority and your command. So you can see, authority of a believer, command over circumstances is tied to faith. So you cannot have authority over certain circumstances of your life without faith. Alright? So be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt in his heart. So it means that faith is an art thing. Like communion is an art thing. Because faith and communion, they go together. I don't know if you are following me. What did I say? Somebody cannot be having communion with God. Oh, need faith. It doesn't happen that way. Anytime you are faithless, it shows that you are not a man of communion. You don't have communion with the Lord enough. Because faith is born out of communion with the Lord. When you say the word, faith coming by hearing. And hearing by the word. That word is not just letter. Hearing the Lord. It's revelation of the Lord that bats faith. Revelation of the Lord bats faith. And shall not doubt in his heart. Look at that. But believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. Can we say amen? Amen. So that's the way of faith that is born out of communion with the Lord. Then the next thing says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray. Now, look at this. This man of faith is a man of communion. A man of communion will not ask anything that is not in the will of God. So when you see desire here, it is not outside a soul that has conquered, that has been conquered on the inside. You don't say, whatever I desire, whatever I desire. So I look at that thing, I desire the house. Hallelujah. No, it doesn't work that way. A man of communion has his desire conquered already. That is what communion does. It makes your desire streamlined. So your desire is the Lord's desire. You don't ask out of the will of God. So whatever things, it's not everything. It's whatever things on the basis of the will of God. It's whatever things on the basis of God's will. So before you pray, you means that communion will make you know what is the will of God. part of the training in communion is that you begin to understand God's purpose and plan for your life. Because communion takes you within. It causes you to live according to the plan and purpose of God, not according to what everybody does. You understand the leading of the Spirit. You understand what are the plans and purposes of God. What does God want for me to do part time? And you are committed to it. So you're only desiring what God wants for you in accordance with His will. So therefore I say unto you, whatever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So you can see, so those desires have been streamlined by communion with the Lord. And when you stand praying, forgive. Look at that. If you have what? Give me a recent translation of this. Let me just look at this. I just want us to, because I feel that many of us, this is where we have problems. So you cannot sustain communion with God for weeks, for months, because you fall in and out of the flesh. All right? You fall in and out of the flesh. So there's no way. So you always have open and open and close. Open and close heaven. You know what I'm talking about? So once you cannot sustain love work, you can't sustain communion. You need to know that. Let me say that again. Once you cannot sustain love work, you can't sustain communion. So, thank you. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding grudge against. First. Some of us don't do this. We just enter into prayer. Shabababa, shabababa, shabababa. Spiritual things don't work that way. All right? God is not moved by your many tongues, or by your many prayer, or how many hours you pray. This is the problem I have with many people that emphasize praying without the technology. They talk so much about, at times, you know, when you're on social media, you hear one powerful apostles. And I respect some of them. They are doing great jobs. All right, it's just that they should focus on ethics of the spirit so that people don't, you pray for 24 hours and there's nothing that is happening to you. Prayer has a transformative effect on the soul. Nobody can be praying and it's not changing. So, but when you don't emphasize the right, for instance, one of the strength of prayer is love. A lot of people, I don't hear people teach prayer and they emphasize love. That's why I don't emphasize it. The strength of prayer is love, man. You pray your 12 hours, I'll do 1 hour, I'll get more results. I'll get more results because I'm a man of love. I keep ethics. I will not allow anybody to defile my sanctuaries. So I live under constant heaven, open heaven. That's the truth. Because of my love work. So what love work we do? One love work. When you say somebody has love work, what he can do? So when you are praying, first forgive. Anyone you are holding a grudge against. Anyone. Everybody say anyone. Come on, let's say it again. Right now, there's someone you are holding a grudge right now. So you can now see how often. Because in the communion, like we have been taught, I think it was said again today, extends beyond your time of praying. Communion is throughout the day. So imagine, you know, throughout the day, and you just have a thought about somebody that you have a grudge against. Just let the person go. Because we don't just pray. Only when we have prayer time, we pray with our thoughts. We pray with our thoughts. All through the day. You know, I've taught you before that prayer must, three things about prayer. Prayer must be what? Consistent. Prayer must be what? Intermittent. Prayer must be what? Uninterrupted. So because you are praying through your thoughts, the thoughts of somebody you're holding, you're having a grudge with, flashes your mind. That is the time you treat it. You say, Father, I refuse of holding this brother. And then you release the person. Now let me say this. For some of us, everybody is always the one hurting us. And I think that's a problem. you have a wrong lens of viewing things. If you are always the last person to own up, you are actually sick. Everybody is wrong. As in, you are the last person to. You don't see yourself as a person that has fault all the time. It means that you are not growing well. There's something wrong with your formation. And that's what at times when we are corrected, we quickly defend ourselves. It's actually that thing. It's actually sin nature. You quickly just defend yourself. Some people, when the Lord corrects them, they will defend themselves before the Lord. You think you can't do it? Go and check it now. Check it in Bible. A lot of people defending themselves before the Lord. I'm only saying this. Learn to quickly own up. What did I say? All right. He says, so that your Father in heaven will what? Forgive your sins too. All right? So that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. So you can see. So forgiveness is an outflow of love. All right? Your love work is what is reflected in your power to forgive and forbear. I've told you that, you know, forgiveness as a cycle of forbearance to forgiveness to forbearance to forgiveness. Forbearance is the ability to be able to forbear people's infirmity. Forgiveness is the ability to remit people's sin done against you. So forgiveness is, I remit your sin. You know, I remit your debt. All right? Instead of holding things against you, I release things. I don't hold things against you. That's forgiveness. All right? So there's forgiveness, there's remission. Remission is actually higher. Forgiveness is that I don't hold your sins against you. If I, can we say amen? I don't hold it. I let it go. And I keep doing that. And that's because of love. All right? So, because when I'm rich in love, I'm rich in forgiveness. What did I say? Say that one more time. That when I'm rich in love, I'm also rich in forbearance. Forbearance is the ability to keep bearing your infirmity and not show it. That's forbearance. Forbearance is also tough. So when you are forbearing someone, the person does not even know. It's not like when I'm forbearing you, you know. I'm forbearing you. That's not forbearance. Forbearance is that I'm forbearing you and you have no clue of what is happening. And the day you know, you'll be humbled. If you ever know, self. Eh? But of course, when you grow, you will know. If a spouse, maybe your wife is forbearing you, the day you grow, you will just realize. It's just like that movie, Fireproof. How many of you know that movie? If you have seen that movie, very powerful movie. All right. So, then the last one is remission. Remission is a little bit higher. You need some kind of authority in the spirit to remit, a kind of stature. It says, whatever sins you remit, he was talking about the apostles. It means with when you have light, you can remit people's sin. So I'm just showing you all those things. All of them are measurement of love stature. A man of love, if you don't have love, you can't remit. You can't remit people's sins. It means you are a carrier of presence. It means you are a vehicle of communion. You can remit people's sins. You can take darkness out of people. When they come around you, this is where everybody should be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord is strengthening our communion with Him. Can we all say amen? I can't hear you say amen. All right? So, communion and consecration go together. All right? And our consecration is by access to instructions of righteousness through the leading of the Spirit, through the unveiling of Christ and God. We must culture an habit of waiting on the Lord in constant communion to receive clarity and direction concerning His will. Isaiah 40 verse 28. God is not a respecter of persons, but is rich on those, unto everyone that call upon His name. Take me to, is it verse 30? Let's go down. But they that wait upon the Lord. Can we say wait upon the Lord? So this is an attitude of communion. It's beyond fasting. All right? I am not playing down fasting food. It has its place. But I can say this. There are more sacrificial things to fast than food. In the spirit. I need to let you know this. You can have a different mind if you grow. You understand what I'm saying? You know, when we talk fast in church, we talk much about fasting food. Food is nothing to some people. Some people don't eat. They don't eat. It's not anything. Doesn't make anything. When I check New Testament, sit and wait on New Testament, you will know what fasting is. Fasting in the New Testament, you will see no New Testament apostle emphasize on denial of food as a means of sacrifice. They don't. Now, I'm not saying don't do it. All right, because Jesus did it. Jesus was led to fast food. So I'm not saying, and we do it. I'm only showing you, because that is where some people think that strength. I even hear that some people recommend fasting to deal with sin nature. You don't understand God. Fasting does not deal with sin nature, sir. It does not deal with sin nature. When it's sin nature. Fasting does not deal with sin nature. Sin nature can fast. That's why you need to understand Isaiah 58, what the Bible calls the chosen fast. Alright? So fasting, what is fast? It's called denial. It's called cross. So you cannot really fast without the Holy Ghost, without leading of the Spirit, without understanding. Now, what are you waiting to the Lord for? You are waiting for how He will lead you. Your leading is your fasting. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. Your leading is your fasting. They can say fast anger for this month. That's how they lead us. They say fast talking. So, for this month. Yes, that's how they eat. They might say fast your right this month. Now, anything called your right. All right? So, it is your right not to wash your brother's plate because you have washed yours. Yes, I say fast that right. Meaning, anytime you enter the kitchen, you wash the plate. That is fasting. Anytime you enter the kitchen, you see plate, you wash. Anytime you see enter the kitchen, you see plate, you wash. Anytime you enter the kitchen, you see plate, you wash. So fasting is denial. Can we say amen? And I can tell you to fast social media. So I don't want to see you around your... You know, those are instructions. They can tell you fast TV for this month. That is why fasting is personal. I'm showing you what this waiting on the Lord is. Fasting is personal. Say, okay, I want you to fast TV for the next 3 months. And then you know that is your instruction. Another person may not have received that instruction. All right? And you are living in the same room. But you know what the Lord told you. So while the person is watching movie, you better carry yourself. And you don't need to get the person angry. Okay, what's wrong with you? Why are you just watching movie all the time? No, but the person did not get the instruction. So you carry yourself out of that place and carry your Bible or you carry your book and go and stay somewhere else. It's as easy as that because you are the one that was giving that instruction. So they that wait upon the Lord. So to wait upon the Lord is to wait for leading, direction, clarity. So whatever you receive will be your own fast. Now it is in that process of receiving direction that you renew strength. I like the word renew strength. That's how you come into. So that's why communion gives strength, because communion is tied to consecration. So your consecration is your fast, and it can be food. So you get what I'm saying? Just that we just always emphasize so much on the food and play down many other things. There are a lot of sacrifices in the spirit that are more weightier than food. You fast away food, but sir, you fight everything. You fight everybody. That's not fasting, sir. Go and eat your food. Because you need food for strength. Why just eat your food? Amen. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? I'm a very funny person in my relationship with the Lord. There are times when I set myself in fasting. There was a time I set myself in fasting. I don't remember the details, but it was supposed to be like a fasting to hear the voice of God concerning a matter. And I noticed that just as I set myself, I thought it would last for 3 days. That's why I believe that when you're a man of communion, you don't need to fast for long for God to speak to you. Yes, yes, I can tell you that one. I can tell you that one without any iota of doubt. Once I set my heart to hear the Lord, is what I mean, I set my heart, I'll tell you, okay, God, I'm ready for anything you tell me, and I'm willing to do. The Lord will tell me instantly. Now, if the Lord tells you over a protracted period of time, it means the Lord does not trust you. So he wants you to exercise that thing just to prepare your heart. Because if he tell you at day one, you will not listen. So they can allow you to go for 10 days. So when the Lord spoke to me, and I knew what he wanted, I couldn't deny. I knew what he wants. I knew that I finished my fast. I went to eat. You understand? And what the Lord told me was a cross. So that to me, that is a greater fast. I have already, so I fasted to fast. So you understand? I fasted food to actually come into revelation of the real fast. Because that commandment they gave me, the clarity that came is going to last me for a long time. So that is living a fasted life. Because it's a life run by instruction of the Holy Ghost. Commandments that I must keep. As I keep that commandment, certain things must be dying daily. I don't know if I make any sense. All right. So, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength, they shall mount up. So, that's how you mount up. All of this is our wisdom of communion. They wander with wings as eagles. They shall run and not weary. They shall walk and not faint. Can we say amen? So, in communion, you will first walk. Then you will run. Then you will fly. You first walk. And that's what you see in the New Testament. Walk in the Spirit. Those are language of communion. And when you walk in the Spirit, the time will come you begin to what? Run. Then after a while, you don't know when you take your flight. So the end of communion is that you become an heavenly man. A man of the heavens. A man that has built his abode in God. And that is where God will get us to. Can we begin to appreciate the Lord? Let's just thank Him. Thank Him. The Lord has blessed us this morning. We'll give Him thanks. We'll give Him praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.